And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Wow. We're back after the Christmas holiday snow day. Oh, I guess we have a little video issue at the moment, but we're pushing forward again, you know. It's the snow.
It's the cold.
It's the hazardous conditions. Yeah, broadcasting live from Northwest Pennsylvania, where we've had what? Seriously, 6 feet.
Yep,
6 feet of snow.
Yep, 65 Christmas Eve, and counting. We got another one right around the corner, looking to dump a few feet.
That's right.
Possibly through tomorrow and this weekend.
All right. So, okay, those people who are listening or are viewing on YouTube, there's going to be a reset. You're going to have to refresh.
Eric forgot how to do his job.
Yeah. Give it a couple of minutes. In fact, we're going to be just audio. How's that? That way, that'll give you time to do whatever. We'll be audio for the next few minutes. But it's good to be back. We hope everyone had a great Christmas. Spend time with your family. And if you didn't get a chance to do that, then certainly spend time in reflection or whatever you wanted to do. And we're just so happy to be back. Our first, we got a great show lined up for you tonight and actually for the rest of the year. Our first guest, of course, you heard him first, you heard him here. Cody Snodgrass, the former CIA asset. He was in a motor vehicle accident on December 21st, which was just 2 days, I believe it was, after he appeared on the Hagmann Report. It's just a reference to proximity or chronology, I suppose. This is his first interview post-accident. And I know he appreciates your thoughts and prayers. And he's going to spend the first hour with us just talking in generalities about different things. And then hours two and three, we got, oh, man, special guests lined up for you. We've got in hour three, Mark Olshaker. Now, I don't know how many people know of the book Mindhunter, Inside the FBI's Elite Serial Crimes Unit. And
there's of also course a serial, Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
It's season one, I believe. And I watched three episodes of it, but I can't remember watching it.
No, I'll tell you what,
I'm
going to
go back and check it out because it did look good. But yeah, I did not know that this was him.
Yeah, he's in. In fact, when I told my wife today, before I left for the studio, she's like, "Wow, that's great!" Because we're both fans of that series. So that's going to be good. And of course, second hour guest is Andrew Draper from the UK,
the Red Pill Report.
Yes, yes. So it's going to be a great show. And so we do have video. There we go.
We have videos back up, and Cody is with us.
All right. So having said all of that, by the way, for those Patreons, and I just want to push this really, I want to talk this up. The Hagmann Report, we've got a Patreon, what would you call it? Patreon's forum, a forum.
Yes.
For Patreon members. It's one of the perks that you get when you help us out, when you keep us on the air. We are going to be putting a lot of information out on that forum, so do join, please.
But we have to continue to populate it with content,
yeah.
Because we rolled it out. We started to put some content up there, and then we've had like a break from the content, so we have to.
But I was on there today, and I put some things on there today, responding to some things. But we're going to be, that's where we're going to be spending a lot of our time. So I do want to invite everyone to join the Hagmann Report forum. and you do that via Patreon. And we thank everyone for helping us stay on the air. But I'm telling you, I'm excited about that because that's a really great, place to share ideas, to share guest suggestions, and just to talk about current events and what have you. So I'm going to be spending a majority of my time there. Also, I want to remind everyone, 5 hours of programming, 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern time on Blog Talk, as well as Global Star Radio Network, Doug Hagman Radio Show, and of course 2 to 3, Joe and John, their show, 7 to 10, the flagship show. In case you've all forgotten because of the Christmas holiday. Yeah, so 5 hours of programming there. And the other thing as well, do follow us on Blog Talk. Do follow us on our social networking feed individually and as the Hagman Report. And also tell others about this program as well, because we all have to stick together. And speaking of sticking together, we are so, so glad that Cody Snodgrass is with us, and we're so glad that he is recovering from his motor vehicle accident, the accident he had last week. What a way to spend Christmas, kind of snookered up by a car accident. Cody, welcome to the program. Back to the program.
Oh, thank you. It's really great to talk to you guys. I want to tell everyone Happy New Year, and every day of life is precious.
Amen. Indeed it is. I'll tell you something. I don't remember the last time we got so many emails and text messages and Twitter messages and all sorts of things, making, you know, just wanting the information to make sure you were okay. And it's so glad to hear you. To the extent you feel comfortable, do you mind telling people what happened?
Yeah. The timing of all this, you know, we're on your show and we've done a bunch of shows, and the timing of this accident is really suspicious. On the surface, you know, it appears to be just an accident, but there's some really strange things surrounding it, which I appreciate the opportunity to get into. I'd also like to thank all the people. We've been getting mail and emails and physical mail, all kinds of stuff, from people's prayers and, you know, all the good people out there. I really want to thank everyone. So, what happened on this wreck, we were around Buena Vista, Colorado, heading back from Hot Springs. We had some people from Ohio down here at the Star Lodge Healing Center, and we were coming back approximately 8 miles east of Buena Vista, coming up a road called Trout Creek Pass. It's a mountain road. It started snowing, and there was a young woman who was tailgating and going too fast, and she hit her brakes. And then instead of hitting the car in front of her, she just turned straight into us. We were in a 2017 Hyundai all-wheel drive vehicle, and we were doing about 35, 40 miles an hour, and she was doing about 55, and it ruined the whole side of the car, totaled both vehicles, and knocked out all the windows. The side airbags deployed. We were all seat belted in, and knocked us off. There was about a 800-foot drop off, which we didn't go over. The State Highway Patrol that was there said that if we had went over that, he would have been calling the coroner. And so I got a cervical strain and a concussion, which I've been going in and out of the hospital. They had me on a 72-hour observation, and they did full CAT scans and said I had no internal bleeding or in broken bones. So I went back in the hospital on December 25th to get released from that observation period. And so now I'm recovering, and I hope I don't slur my words too bad, or I hope I'm cognizant, but still have a little headache and very, very sore. And the problem with this wreck, though, about a week before, we had done a radio show up in Minnesota, and there were two other people besides me that were guests on this show, and they had covered a whole bunch of stuff about Hillary Clinton in Arkansas and witchcraft cult. strange suicide of Dr. Lorich up in New York. Some people may recall, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, where he was doing the Haiti Clinton Foundation thing, and he was going to testify, and then he supposedly stabbed himself. And one of these people was a missionary down in Nicaragua that had dinner with Daniel Ortega, previously the head of the Sandinistas, a communist thing. They were running a missionary group where they were helping to move people out of the country that were targeted by the death squads that were working down there. So these people had, knowledge of the Clintons and the things that were going on back in Arkansas in the 80s when Bill and Hillary were there at the Rose Law Firm and Governor. And so they were pretty hard on them on this interview. They were talking about how, Hillary had supposedly been in a witch cult and all the murders surrounding the Clintons and so forth. And so the strange thing about this is that the very next day, one of the women, her ex-husband, who is very close to her and rarely, goes away and just disappears, he just disappeared the next day. And he's been gone ever since. We don't know where he is. And then the other woman that was on the show, the missionary, the very next day, she was targeted with a microwave attack. And she got hit about 11 o'clock that night, was real sick, and she called me. And then they hit her again later the next day. She went to a physical therapy center, and she had red, her skin turned red on her neck and down by her legs and feet, and the physical therapist told her, this woman did not tell the physical therapist anything. She just said, "What do you think about this?" And she goes, "It looks like you've been microwave burned." And she also received strange calls from people who were lying about where they were. They said they were down in Arkansas, but they were really in Oregon. And so there was a bunch of strange things that happened. And then the very next day, of course, I had my accident. And so that was the only accident on the whole road the whole day, going and coming. So there was a series of strange events that preceded this accident. And one of the women who was, a minister down in Nicaragua, she suspected some type of demonic or occultic activity. And the strange thing about all this is about a few days before this interview, I had a dream at night where Hillary Clinton's face was superimposed over my girlfriend's face. And we had sex in the dream, and I woke up, I immediately got my prayer oil, frankincense and myrrh prayer oil in my Bible, and I started praying, and I put, crosses of the prayer oil all around the house and commanded that all this darkness leave. That's a very strange dream, and the witchcraft cults, they do use sexual magic and dreams and so forth. It's been well documented throughout history. The Wicca, they use sex magic rituals to manipulate and control people. So there's a whole series of things that were strange. The very next day after this dream, I had a pastor from Florida call me, and I told him about this dream. It was very strange. And he told me that several men in his group that were pretty high up in their church group, that they had similar dreams of Hillary Clinton coming to them. Now, this is all strange, and it's very strange, but, on the surface, this car wreck looked like a car wreck, just an average run-of-the-mill car wreck. But when you put all the stuff surrounding it into context, it's very, very strange. And then this girl that hit us, I walked over to her after I was out on the ground for a while. I lost consciousness for a little while and then got up. I walked over to her. The first thing I wanted to do was beat her up. I was really mad. All my anger came up. I wanted to hit her for being stupid. But I pushed that aside. I prayed. I asked Jesus to come to me and help me. And then I walked over to her, and instead of hitting her, her, I hugged her. And I looked at her, and her eyes were very strange. And I said, why did you turn into us? It was a two-lane road. You turned directly into oncoming traffic. I said, you could have killed us all, plus yourself. Right. And she looked at me with a very strange look, and she says, I don't know. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know why I did that. I don't remember. And her face was real strange. And I don't know if she was possessed or what happened to her. She was just in shock from the wreck. But when you combine all these events together, it just seems very strange that there'd be a series of things like this. First, one of the women, you know, her husband, her ex-husband disappears. The next one gets microwaves attack. And so we called Dave Hodges down at the Common Sense Show and let him know about it because he knows some of these people. And there's been a lot of targeting. There's been a lot of demonic activity. We talked to our pastor of our church up here in Lake George. And I asked him, have you seen a lot of strange activity lately? And he said, yes, there's been. Church he's known a long time. They've been acting strangely. There's been more reports of family and domestic stuff. So I don't know what's going on. But on the surface, this thing looked like a regular wreck. But when you put all this other together, I'm just not sure.
No, I certainly can understand that. And a lot of people might take issue and say, oh, that's just, you know, crazy talk. But, you know, what I like to tell people, I like to say this often, it doesn't matter what we believe, meaning we, the listeners, and all of us. It matters what they, the opposition, the satanic, what they believe. And certainly I believe as well that there is, I mean, obviously the war is spiritual in nature, manifesting in the physical. And I never used to believe that, but the older I get and the more I see, man, I'm believing this a lot. So I don't doubt that, you know, this manifested, this is indeed a spiritual attack. But praise God that you weren't killed. Wow. I mean, because when I heard about this, I immediately thought the worst, and then, but I'm so thankful you're relatively okay. And did you tell me there were others in your vehicle as well?
Yeah, there were two other people. They were the people from, up in Ohio. And one guy, he went back and forth to Illinois. But the thing with it, you know, we never charge for our healing work. We always try to do the goodness. Down in other countries in Central and South America, people don't have money like they do up here in America. But this girl had a bad childhood and was trying to heal up from that. But the thing about this was that they had a Avis rent car, and so after this happened, the back axle got knocked out of this car. The collision was so bad, it was sitting on the ground with the wheels jammed in the fender wells, and so we had to call an Avis rent car. They had to get one from the Colorado Springs Airport, put it on a record, drive it out there, give us a new car, put the other one up. And that took about 4 hours. It was snowing and it got dark, so we had to sit in this car for about 4 hours. The motor was still running. We had heat. And the highway patrol put yellow evidence tape around the vehicle. But the neat part about this was that during that 4 hours, about 10 or 12 approximately, different people stopped. And they saw the flashers and they saw this wreck. There was stuff all over the road, and they had to move a lot of it off. But these people stopped, and you could tell some of them were good Christian people. They all stopped and said, hey, do you guys need help? Do y'all need some water? Do you need blankets? And it was such a wonderful thing to see this outpouring of goodness, you know, and it really gave me faith in human nature. There may be some bad and demonic and satanic people, you know, like the Clintons, but there's a lot of good people too, and it really did our hearts good to see all these people just stop. I mean, in a snowstorm in the dark, they would would stop and get out of their cars and come over. So it was absolutely wonderful. Yeah, this stuff, you're right, it's very strange, it's very esoteric. There's the Bohemian Grove connection with the Clintons too. But anyway, whatever happened, I'm glad to be alive. I'm very glad. I was pretty disabled. I couldn't walk the first day. I couldn't get out of bed. But we're getting back, and we're doing good. And I just want to thank everyone for the prayers, because they really mean a lot. I believe in prayer. I believe that the mental energy, if it's done in a good way, can really make a difference in our world.
Absolutely. And I know our audience, I really believe we've got one of the best audiences in the world, if not the best. And then the people are just prayer warriors. And when we heard about your situation again, so many people contacted us and said, just tell Cody that we're praying for him. And I believe that does make a huge difference. But what you described, boy, that is really, really strange with respect to the nightmares, not dreams, nightmares, prior to this. And of course, man.
I never think about stuff like that. I don't, that's the first time I've ever had a dream about Hillary Clinton. I don't think about her. I don't like her. I talk about them in regards to the Oklahoma City bombing and, the CIA ops that we were in down in Arkansas and the different things that happened in Nicaragua and all that stuff. But I don't ever think about that. And this dream was very, very strong. I woke up, just jumped up out of a deep sleep after dreaming this, thinking, what is going on here? And I was getting a feeling of these dark chills down my back, like being in a haunted house. I had feelings of dread. I had feelings of fear. It was very strange. And then I got my prayer oil and my Bible, and I felt like I was being attacked while I was sleeping. And then the next morning, that pastor called me from Florida, and I had never, ever talked to him before in my life. I'd never answered an email from him. I don't know. And then he told me the same thing. He said some guys in his group were having the same kind of dream. So it's very, very strange.
Man. You combine that with the content, and you would be in a better position to really explain this, but when you were on our show again, I think it was 20 or 48 hours before your accident, roughly, and all of the information, it was just like an information download, and all of the information you shared specifically about the Clintons and about all the Oklahoma City, and of course Cody Snodgrass is our guest, CodySnodgrass.com, and of course his book. But Cody, it was just we got such a positive feedback, and so many people had said, boy, I hope he's got protection. And a couple of emails I sent back, I know he's got spiritual protection, but so anyway,
we have several prayer groups that, like, we have this one prayer group down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They do the old laying on of hands healing, and they're very, very good people. They sent me a bunch of the frankincense and myrrh prayer oil, and I've had a lot of people that have been helping us. But when you go up against the type of evil that's represented by the shadow government here, it's in America. The tentacles go everywhere. It's in banking. It's in the arms and drugs. It's in pharmaceuticals. It's in the government. We're dealing with a dark, evil conglomerate. I truly believe that a lot of the people in there are satanic worshipers or devil worshipers or whatever you want to call it. It's just like the SS occult division that was in the Nazi SS. they had a special group, this is all documented in history, of people that were Satanists. And Aleister Crowley, you know, he was the famous 19th century British occultist. He viewed sex as the supreme magical power. And the SS occult division over in Germany, they used sexual magic and sex rituals. They also went and got the Spear of Lazarus, you know, the spear that supposedly impaled Christ in the Roman Empire at the crucifixion. And it was believed or rumored that that had magical powers, and that any army that carried that before them would be invincible. So they went and got that. They also went, a lot of people don't know this, they went over to Greece, and they got a lot of the magical or temple ceremonial items that had belonged to the oracles at Delphi. And so they were into all this deep, dark magic. And, of course, in Operation Paperclip, which you guys, I'm sure, know about, that's when our OSS and Alan Dulles, the director there, they brought about 200 or so of the Nazi people back over here in exchange for the information. And they gave them fake identities. There was one down here at Los Alamos. I actually went out to dinner with him one night. He was a German guy. I knew some other people down at Los Alamos that had worked on the Manhattan Project previously. But these people are into Satanism. They are into occultism. And they do use dreams, and they do use magic, and they do use ritual and pentagram worship and all this kind of stuff. And so that's the dark side. And, you know, we are the forces of light trying to get the truth out. They're trying to cover it all up with lies. So we use love, and they use fear. We use compassion, and they use hate. And so that's why I titled that book, Choosing the Light, because I chose to go from the dark side to the light side. And I personally witnessed DEA agents that were Satanists. I mean, they had human skulls on each side of their bed, and they would do rituals over pentagram, put on black hoods, so forth. So this stuff's real. I can't have any empirical data. I'm a scientist. I have degrees in physics and mathematics. I try to stick with verifiable, observable facts. But when you get into this kind of stuff, especially black ops, most of the facts have been sanitized. Most of the pictures are lost. You know, it's like the Rose Law Firm down there. They had a fire when some of those records were subpoenaed by the state investigatory committees in Arkansas. And then the same thing happened federally with the Oklahoma City bombing, and all the records disappeared. So it's real hard to get data that's actually concrete.
Sure. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that, and I know that we had touched on that on your first appearance here. Now, before we get too far down the line here, I want to toss this out to you. Cody, look, I know, boy, I'll tell you what, you put your life on the line giving us the information that you know, and of course you've got your book, Choosing the Light. But is there, the question I have, what can we do, if anything, to help you at this point? Is there anything we can do to help you at this point, get through, aside from praying for you, is there anything we can do to help you get through this period of recovery, or help you in your recovery? Can our listeners do anything for you?
Oh, well, well, you mentioned it. The number one thing that I would say, you know, helps me the most is the prayers of, you know, good-hearted people. I believe that those things manifest on the earth. I believe that they manifest in helping defeat evil. You know, we have a lot of people that we pray for. We have prayer groups that pray for Donald Trump and different people. There's a lot of people like the Reverend we did the radio show with. She was attacked. She really was sick. These things are real. They have directed energy weapons. They have all this stuff. But the number one thing that I need now is the prayers, because, you know, a lot of people might use this incident and say, oh, yeah, send money and donate money and play on the heartstrings of people, you know. I don't want to do that. We're all together here. There's no one above the other. All of us walk hand in hand as brothers and sisters in the light, and we have to stand together to confront this evil. I want prayers more than money. I want more than fame.
Right. Hey, because you've been through it in real life scenarios. Of course, Cody Snodgrass, a former CIA asset and the author of the book Choosing the Light. By the way, sales of that book obviously would help you, correct? I mean, financially.
Yes, they do. It took 4 years to write this book, and then all the stuff that's in it is documented very highly. It's very highly, by 700 pages. It's a big book, but a lot of that is documentation from the, we have a lot of legal stuff and files and supporting evidence that we usually don't have time to give, you know, in the standard radio shows and stuff. The sales of the book, we good. We have two websites. We have one in Europe, which is lightonconspiracies.com/Cody.
Right.
And then we have one here in the U.S., which is Cody Snodgrass. Snodgrass.com. And so, yeah, the sales of the book, that all helps and everything too, but we also give things away. We've been sending CDs to some of the veterans. A lot of them are disabled. Agent Orange guys from Nam, and then the new guys from Iraq and Afghanistan that got the Gulf War syndrome poisoning, and I think we covered some of that.
Yeah.
On the last interview, but we give stuff away to people, you know, that don't have a lot of money. You know, times are tight for some of these people. Some of them are on Social Security and they just don't have the money.
Well, it's awful. It's really nice of you to do that. I know authors who are very popular, very successful that won't even entertain thoughts like that. And here you are, you know, recovering from a very traumatic accident and thinking about others. So thank you for doing that. But folks, definitely buy the book. By the way, since we had last spoke, I had downloaded it's correctly stated as a PDF, right? I mean, that's a correct statement.
Yes.
Okay. The PDF version. And I've got to tell you, it's a tremendous book. I don't think anyone would be disappointed by the book. There's so much information in there. I can't even imagine how you wrote that book. I mean, my goodness. It would have taken me a decade to write that book, but yeah, I could tell, certainly your experience. You got a lifetime's worth of experience in that book.
Yeah, you try to, you know, take 20 plus years and get it down. There's critical pieces of evidence we do not have because the CIA took them and sealed them. And so when you're dealing with stuff like that, it's hard to get classified information or things that have been disappeared deliberately. But I'd like to read on the very front page of this, the very thing when you open this book. I have a quote here. Everything that is hidden will be found out, and every secret will be known. Whatever I say to you in the dark, you must tell in the light. Don't be afraid of people. They can kill you, but they cannot harm your soul. And that's from Luke 12:2-7. And then right after that is, what follows is a hidden truth. Darkness and evil exist on earth, but so too does light and goodness. I have walked with the dark ones, learning their secret hidden ways. Now I have chosen the light. May the power of truth protect us, and the angels guide us upon our path. In the end, all paths lead back to oneness and to God.
That's a beautiful, that's beautiful and of course biblical. It's amazing that you picked out, or it says something that you picked out that passage and that scripture. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, so that's the only thing strong enough, to confront this evil, this vast shadow government deep state. You know, I kind of like to think, you know, President Eisenhower, you know, he made that famous speech when he was leaving office, yep, warning about the power of the military-industrial complex. And that can be Googled up for some of the listeners. But there has been, from the Kennedy assassinations, both the brothers, John and Robert, and Martin Luther King, and, you know, the Oklahoma City bombing, and 9/11, and all these false flags and all these strange occurrences, when you start digging into them, there's a pattern. There's a pattern of deception and darkness and evil. And if you turn off, like your listeners do, they, you know, a lot of them probably turn off the TV and don't listen to the mainstream media quite so much. It's lost its credibility. All this stuff. I'm not the only guy stepping forward. There's a lot of other people. But the key is, you know, I have my little piece of the puzzle, and I'm hoping by doing what I'm doing and risking things like car wrecks or, you know, slipping on a banana peel or whatever happens, that other people will come forward and step forward. We've had a lot of people write letters here, and they don't want their names used, and they don't want to email or have a phone. They just write a handwritten letter. And there's been first responders at the Murrah building. There's been all kinds of people telling secrets that they're afraid to speak out. And, but they're sending them here to us. And I mean, we have dozens of them. There's a lot of secrets that are going to be coming out, hopefully, and they'll be revealed. And so that's why we all need to pray. We all need to get our minds together and work together to help confront this evil, because it's a huge, deep evil. It's been going on for decades and decades in our country and around the world.
Absolutely.
And by you doing what you're doing, you're leading by example, which, as you said, is getting the attention of other people who might have been in the same position you are. And, you know, by doing so, you're definitely laying the groundwork for many more people to come forward and to tell their story. Not the story that's been manipulated and force-fed into the public, but that's all you can do, and then hope that, you know, the people follow suit behind you.
Right, and so there has been many, like I said, these letters, that's the precursor to this. It's like a dam that's going to open. I hope that it's a wave of light that precedes the second coming of Christ, whenever that is. I believe that he will come again and to help us in dark times. And so all we can do as mortals, you know, here on the earth, is to stand in that light and to be that light, to pull that light in through us and be it like grounding rods where, and that's what I try to do here. You know, people go, so many people, aren't you afraid? Aren't you? Yes, yes, I'm afraid. I don't want to get killed. I don't want to end up in a hospital in a car wreck. I've been suffering again through all this, but that's not the point. This is bigger than me, the Oklahoma City bombing. This is about all of us as human beings and what we're going to give to our children and our grandchildren when we leave this earth. It's about laying the foundation of light and truth, and that will overcome all this shadow government darkness that's been going on for decades. Our government's become horribly corrupt. Our judicial system is a shambles. There's just so much negativity and division and derision and people picking at each other. And we can unify our consciousness and stand in the light. That's what my job, spiritually speaking, is, to use this platform as the Oklahoma City bombing thing, getting truth out, to be that pillar of light. It's not about fame. It's not about money. It's about our country. It's about our world. This is bigger than each one of us. And that's why we really appreciate your show and your listeners and the people that come together in the prayer and come together in these wonderful consciousness paradigms of unity and love. And because the light of the angels and Jesus Christ, in my own opinion, is the only thing that's going to be strong enough to overcome this evil.
We totally agree with you on that. Cody, are we winning? I mean, in the larger sense, we have Donald Trump coming in. A lot of stuff is being exposed. You, on your last appearance on this program, it was like a massive data dump, information dump, educated a lot of people. A lot of people are paying attention now. Do you think we have the globalists on the run? Do you think that we've got the bad guys on the run, so to speak? Obviously we're better off today than we were, you know, 18 months ago, but do you think we're winning?
Yes, absolutely. I have to believe that after being in Supermax solitary like I was and seeing the corruption in the Tenth Circuit and the judges and that story. We've only scratched the surface when we did our little interview.
Yeah.
There's so much more information here about the different things, like we talked about Waco and a few things. There's so much more here, but the idea is to wake people up, and the more people that we can awaken with my little piece of the puzzle, there's other people out there that have been quiet like me. I stayed quiet for 22 years. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to speak like this, because it was crushing my soul to carry this burden. And I know it's got to be crushing the soul of the other people who have done things and know what really happened. Like on the back page of this book, it's in big letters on the very last page. It says, fear of death is a strong enforcer of silence, but guilt, like heart disease, can be a silent killer for the guilty. And that's how I felt. I felt guilty of all some of the bad things I did when I was in the black ops world. But to answer your question, yes, I think we are winning. I think that we are making progress and that we have to hold hope up. One of the stories in this book, there's a lot of them we haven't talked about, was about Viktor Frankl, who was a Auschwitz survivor, and his wife and children had been separated by the Nazis when they were all captured, and he was in Auschwitz, and his job was to take the dead bodies out of the barracks. I realize this may be kind of rough for some people to hear, but it's the truth. And the Nazis couldn't burn people fast enough. They had their ovens running 24/7, and so they would pile the bodies up out there in pits. And how Viktor Frankl survived was they would use snare wire that they'd gotten off a fence, and they snared rats in the body piles, because the rats would feed on them at night, and they couldn't eat the rats in front of the other prisoners because they'd start a food riot. Mm. And they're starving to death, so they would eat cold rat at night. And that's how he had enough protein to survive. And later on, he wrote a book, and they asked him, why did you go to those horrendous extremes? You know, you're living in this dark place where they're murdering. It's not just killing, it's genocide. It's crazy. It's never been done before in the world. And he said it was the hope. It was the hope that I would see my wife and children somehow again. And he said that is the last of the human freedoms. It's the very last thing you have on this earth. When all your clothes have been stripped away, all your family, all your money, everything, and you're facing imminent death, any second, the last of the human freedoms is to not give up hope. Don't give up the light. And so I have to believe that we're winning. I think that if enough of us hold hope out, and we keep on, and, you know, we face death or we face hardship, that we can unite together as a people and rekindle the spirit of America. That's what my stepdad, he fought in Pearl Harbor and Guadalcanal, and he was right there December 7th, 41, during the Japanese attack. He survived it. We have that story here in the book of that. But that, those men, he told me this country changed after that, and the spirit started leaving America. We can rekindle that in ourselves and rekindle it in our country. So to answer your question, I know I'm rambling a little bit, but we can't give that hope up. No matter how bad it gets, no matter what they do, what the dark ones do, and all these bombings and false flag attacks and the 9/11 towers and all the things that happen, we have to hold hope out and keep that hope and fuel it with light. And that's why spiritual practice for me is so important. I have my Bible right here. It was given to me back in 1963. And I read it almost every day. It's the one thing I've kept in my life. It's always been with me. And so that's all I can say is that I don't think we're losing. It's going to be a tough battle, and I hope Trump, with all these sealed indictments, is going to be able to stop these pedophile rings. There's nothing that makes me fight. It makes my blood boil than someone messing with children. Now, I go really berserk around that kind of stuff.
You know, what I've seen, especially with the letter to Congress that was released on December 21st, referencing an executive order, but the economic sanctions against those trafficking in humans and sex trafficking, I've got to believe, and I don't know whether you've seen that given your circumstances, but the economic sanctions against human trafficking, and I think it's related to Eric Schmidt stepping down. This is my personal opinion now. I think Donald Trump is putting the hurt on a lot of these organized pedophile rings in kind of a backdoor approach, using economic sanctions, using these various different aspects of the law. And I think that I'm glad to see that take place. But like I said, I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we are not really processing fast enough in our minds, or other people aren't really aware of, because it's being hidden by the mainstream media too. They don't want to talk about this stuff.
So, well, yeah, and the media, you know, in Hollywood, there's been a lot of accusations and rumors flying around that some of the people in Hollywood are involved in this. And this gets back again to what we were talking about with the SS occult division and the Nazis. This stuff is not new. There has been child trafficking and so forth. There's also people that are the hardcore Satanists that believe in sacrificing, and the Mayans and some of the indigenous tribes in South America and around the world, they actually believed in human sacrifice. And they use the fear and the energy of that to further their demonic or satanic episodes. I don't want to get involved in any of that. I'm totally against all of that. And I think that I hope that Donald Trump is breaking them up. There's a lot of sealed things going on. And like you said, the mainstream media is not talking about it. But all we can do, people ask me, Cody, what can we do? It doesn't matter who you are or where you're at. Just hold that light. Hold that, you know, seek truth and goodness and love, because that is the only thing. Even if you got to die or you get arrested and thrown in Supermax like me, they planted me with false evidence. I have all the proof and the stuff in the book. We never, ever were allowed to even go to court in 4 years. I think I told that story. But my case is kind of extreme, but any just regular people in their regular lives, this is a spiritual war, first and foremost. We have to hold this light and manifest it in the world. And the more of us they can do that on a bigger and bigger scale. It'll make a wave that's so powerful that these Satanists and these pedophiles and all the shadow government drug dealing and false flags where they blow up our own buildings and lie about it, all this stuff is going to be washed away by this wave. But we have to keep on it. And like I said, there's several prayer groups that we know about that are praying for Donald Trump, because if me and that pastor in Florida are all getting hit with these dreams of Clinton and this witchcraft stuff is really real, I bet Donald Trump's getting hammered right now. I mean, he's been under attack in the media, and Lord knows what's going on that we don't hear about in the spiritual realms.
Yeah, and Cody, let me ask you this about the media. I've seen a few interesting stories and videos, kind of doing a year in review 2017 on, you know, media fails from, I saw Jim Acosta's, you know, top 10 meltdowns of 2017. The Daily Caller had a piece showcasing, you know, the media's quote-unquote bombshell stories about Trump-Russia collusion that they had to walk back or admit they were wrong or lied or whatever. Do you see this trend continuing into 2018, or do you think they'll change their tactic on the way that they approach their attacks of Donald Trump?
Yeah, that trend, they will try to continue it, but what my personal opinion is, I've heard there's thousands and thousands of sealed indictments. So what's going to happen is, if these people are doing pedophile stuff and they're involved in all of this kind of drug dealing and money laundering and all this stuff, the sentences on all that stuff's real high, and what they're going to do is they're going to snitch or turn, and they're going to rat out the bigger people, like the Clintons and the Haiti Foundation. And the Clintons have been murdering witnesses for a long time. They did it down in Arkansas. In my book, I have several classic examples with details, dates, names, times, you know, and they write them off as suicide and so forth. But
in your book, by the way, that was one of the most comprehensive sections that I've read about the Arkansides. So I just want to tell people, just that alone is worth the book. But go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, we've been getting letters. I've got several letters here from Mena, Arkansas, from people who don't want their name. I didn't get them, obviously, before the book. I wish I could have included some of these stories in the book. These things are horrendous. That's why these people kept them quiet all these years. And they certainly, you know, I can't say their names. They don't want their names out there, and I understand why. But yeah, there is so much of this. The Clinton thing is a lot deeper and bigger than even I have detailed. But yeah, they're going to keep on Trump. The deep state is going to try, as they're falling and dying, they're going to pull out every stop. They're going to lie. They're going to deceive. But when these people start rolling on each other and signing deals for immunity, they're going to use that. FBI standard tactics will be to use those lower level guys to get to the big ringleaders of the pedophile rings and the Clinton Foundation and all the stuff's been going on. And I would love to see the day when Bill and Hillary Clinton are put in handcuffs and they are sentenced to federal prison. Because I told one of the ministers up here, I said, if they ever get put in federal prison, I want to go do a prison ministry, and I want to look them in the eyes, and I want to tell them that, you know, you're being punished for the evil and the satanic things you've done all these years, President, hiding behind the legitimate positions in our government like Secretary of State. And I want to look at them in their eyes and say, you're being punished, and finally the light has shone upon you, and we send you love. And we forgive you. Now go do your time. Because they belong in prison.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's our job, wow. See, about holding the light. They're my enemies. I truly believe Bill Clinton and them were behind me going in there. My attorney saw Tom Strickland, the U.S. attorney in 10th Circuit, talking to Bill Clinton himself at the one-year anniversary of the Columbine High School shooting. Tom Strickland sat at every one of my little bond hearings and stuff, lying to the reporters at the Rocky Mountain News and Denver Post, all this. They had me on the front page of the paper with all these lies and covered up everything. everything about the CIA and everything. So Bill Clinton and them deserve to be in prison for what they've done and on the crimes they've committed. We have to stop the double standard where certain people are put in prison for a crime and then all these other people are let go because they're in the government. That's not fair.
Yeah. Our republic cannot stand a two-system or two-tier system of justice. We just can't. We cannot tolerate that. When we see the lawlessness of the high, the power elite like Bill and Hillary Clinton, even George W. Bush. And one thing I learned from your book, extrapolated from your book, is the Bill and Hillary or the Clinton Foundation and the Haiti earthquake. How that intersected with George W. Bush. I didn't know that before, but you educated me on that.
Well, did you know that Haiti is a huge, that the CIA has a huge station down there in Haiti?
You know, you mentioned that. You mentioned that. Yes. But not until you had mentioned that earlier on your first appearance on our program. Cody, but we're out of time, but I'll tell you something. Get some rest. We wish you a very speedy recovery and a strong recovery. And but we're at the end of the hour. Please keep in touch with us. Please come back and get stronger. We'll be praying for you.
Well, thank you, sir, and to everybody out there, Happy New Year. The light will win. Keep it in your heart. The light will win.
And there it is from Cody Snodgrass, CodySnodgrass.com. Choosing the Light is his book. Folks, it's well worth. Get yourself a copy of that book via PDF, CodySnodgrass.com. Our best to him after just a horrific accident, motor vehicle accident last week. Wanted to get him back. It's so great to hear his voice. And folks, remember right back. Stay right where you're at.